Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kian. Today we'll discuss the article by Fuji et al. Titled, Temple Improves Cutaneous Thermal Hyperemia Through Increasing Nitric Oxide Bioavailability in Young Smokers. This article published online March 28, 2014. My guests today are Editor-in-Chief Irving Zucker, Lead author Christopher Minson, and expert Lacey Alexander. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. The health risks of smoking are well known to everybody. Many of the manifestations of long-term smoking result in cardiovascular dysfunction. The exact mechanisms by which smoking evokes these abnormalities continues to be a subject of intense investigation, both clinically and in animal experiments as well. The current study specifically focused on the vascular response to local cutaneous heating in smokers and its mediators. Chris, I wonder if you could briefly discuss the rationale for this study, the methods used, and the major results that you found.
So my lab has been very interested in studying the microvasculature for a number of years. In clinical tests, the microvasculature can often demonstrate dysfunction very early in the course of a disease, and that's even often before occult clinical signs are present or before macrovascular changes might occur. Therefore, we've been interested in using the microvasculature in studies to evaluate these various pathways of microvascular dysfunction, either early in the process of a disease or even in healthy individuals. In particular, most of our work has focused on the cutaneous microvasculature. The skin is a great model, as it is very accessible and we can pharmacodissect pathways with relatively non-invasive means. In addition, the skin has shown to reflect change in other microvascular beds and has been a prognostic and independent predictor of morbidity and mortality. So it's been known for quite a while that cigarette smoking can impair endothelial function of both conduit arteries and microvessels. And we've previously shown that microvascular dysfunction in smokers appears to be related to an effect on the nitric oxide pathway. In this study, we wanted to determine whether Temple, a superoxide dismutase mimetic, would improve the nitric oxide component of a test of microvascular function in the skin. So specifically, we used a protocol of applying a local heat stress to the surface of the skin. We know that a specific component of that response is highly dependent on nitric oxide. We used the intradermal microdialysis procedure to deliver the superoxide dismutase mimetic into a skin site, and we also infused an L-arginine analog in another skin site. In a third site, we also combined the two drugs, and that would allow us to determine whether any improvements in the Temple site were through the nitric oxide pathway. A fourth site was then used as a control and received the vehicle only. So as predicted, we observed that the nitric oxide component of thermal hyperemia was indeed diminished in the skin of smokers compared to what we and many others have seen in other studies using the thermal hyperemia test. In addition, we observed that the Temple improved response to values typically seen in healthy non-smokers. Thirdly, in the combined blockade site, we noticed that the improvements with Temple were completely eliminated. That suggested to us that the Temple was indeed improving nitric oxide bioavailability.
Thanks, Chris. I think the data are very clear and that clearly NO is a major player in this vasodilated response to heat. Lacey, could you comment on any aspects of the study, but specifically talk about the whole idea of thermoregulation in human skin and the mediators that are known to participate?
In terms of skin blood flow, classically we think about alterations in skin blood flow being for thermoregulatory purposes. However, just like changes in muscle blood flow, we have these local mediators that also influence changes to blood flow in general. With the local heating response, we've shown, again, that the primary isoform mediating at least 70% or so of the vasodilatory response is through the production of nitric oxide through endothelial nitric oxide synthase. So utilizing this protocol, which is quite systematic and creates a robust increase in skin blood flow in a localized area, can be an excellent tool to assess endothelium-dependent vasodilation through nitric oxide mechanisms. Additionally, both work through in Chris's lab and young healthy subjects has helped to really delineate some of the other mechanisms responsible for increasing skin blood flow utilizing this local stimulus. Importantly, though, it should be noted that the mechanisms causing the increase in skin blood flow during a local heating protocol are much different than what we see during a reflex heating or when a whole body core temperature is elevated.
Absolutely. I think that's a good point. There are a few directions we can go in this discussion. Well, one question that I would like to bring up, Chris, is whether or not you think you'd see the same effects that you saw with the LNNA if you used a non-specific vasoconstrictor. Have you ever tried that? Perfuse the dialysis tubing with something else, like PE, for instance?
Those are excellent questions, and we have not done that yet. I think that would be a great model to further try and delineate the roles that nitric oxide is having and how we're affecting that pathway. I mean, as Lacey has certainly shown in the skin, that nitric oxide has an important role in the vasoconstrictor responses, so she might be able to speak in a little more detail about that. But I think one of the issues you bring up is actually really interesting in that, you know, anytime we use a drug, they're never as clean as we'd like for them to be. And we did a few studies in the past to try and determine just how clean Temple is. And it's a very difficult to get at. It seems to be fairly specific to what we're looking at. But I think by your way of looking at other ways that changing nitric oxide, improving nitric oxide, might be a good way to get at potential other effects of Temple that may further explain some of our findings.
Lacey, you want to make any comments to that?
So I think that the techniques are evolving in terms of utilizing more pharmacology with this technique with intradermal microdialysis. So, for example, in my laboratory, we are doing a curve modeling and traditional pharmacological techniques with, say, norepinephrine and other things that we would see in more of a basic vascular physiology, vascular biology laboratory. So I think that things are evolving, but one of the unique aspects of human skin is that not only are we able to do this from a more traditional perspective, but we can also utilize physiological stimuli in order to see these responses from a more natural approach. So we can look at the pharmacology as well as kind of underlying physiology to natural stimuli. It's interesting how this model has evolved from the basic skin blood flow from a pure thermoregulatory basis to really diving down deeper into mechanism. And I think that there's only more that can be done.
Do either of you believe that this abnormality, this apparent endothelial abnormality that you see in skin in smokers is transmitted to other tissue beds, muscle or visceral organs? It seems to me this might be a systemic issue.
Sure, I can take a stab at answering that question. Although we didn't directly measure that in this study, of course, we have seen in numerous other studies that have been published in which the skin really works as a great harbinger of other vascular beds and changes in those vascular beds to diseases. So we would suspect that if the microvasculature in the skin is being affected, that very likely other vascular beds, certainly I would say in the coronary vessels, as well as perhaps even in the musculature, that there are going to be changes in those vascular beds as well, secondary to the cigarette smoking.
So one last question maybe to finish up. What do you think about the reversibility of this abnormality when one stops smoking?
I think that as we've seen from different intervention studies utilizing the skin as a model to examine mechanisms of recovery, that potentially given a certain time course, that we would indeed see recovery. We see similar things when we give patients with hypercholesterolemia or hypertension, either statins or antihypertensive pharmacotherapy, we do see recovery of endothelial function and specifically nitric oxide-dependent dilation. So it would be interesting as a further step to examine the time course of recovery as people abstain from smoking and looking at more long-term improvement.
What I wanted to comment on that is that one reason why we're interested in this study, and this created a large ethical debate within my laboratory, is that we all know that smoking is bad. We know that stopping smoking is going to be better. And as Lacey said very well, we suspect there's going to be some reversibility of these pathways. But we all know that smoking is very, very difficult to stop. It's very addictive, and many, many people fail. So one thing that we thought about with this study is that if we can find the pathways by which this nitric oxide dysfunction occurs, is it possible we can find mechanisms by which we can improve and protect the microvasculature and perhaps conduit vessel function as well in smokers while they continue to smoke? Now, some of my lab members have said that's ethically not okay. We're encouraging them to continue to smoke. And others in the laboratory feel that, well, people are going to continue to smoke anyway. So if we can find some mechanism by which to protect the cardiovascular system, even at least somewhat, we might diminish the disease risk, and healthcare costs. So it's an interesting debate in some ways from that perspective that led us to think about the study rather than to try and think about can this be altered with smoking cessation, which I would suspect that over time it certainly would be.
Well, I want to thank you both for participating in this interesting discussion and congratulate Chris for an excellent study. Kara, back to you.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.